Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Word.
Well, let's do the intro, man. Let's get that out of the way.
It's all you, brother. Go ahead.
Hey, this is the Zombies, Government, and You podcast. And where we subvert the state, have a damn good time doing it, and laugh about it. And I'm David, King's Bane. And I'm here with tell the people who you are, man.
Yo, this is Baron von Stormhaven. I am one of the many Wolberts from the Wolbert podcast.
Yes, which I actually, I had the honor of being on that show yesterday, man, so it was fun, dude.
It was way cool. So after you told me, you sent me that message saying, hey, we should do a podcast on Tuesday, and then I found out you guys were on the Lulberts, I'm like, well, fuck, I'm going to have to go back and listen to the Lulberts and find out what you guys covered so we wouldn't cover it in this episode.
There may not be a lot of crossover, yeah, but go on, sorry.
Oh, bullshit. Everything you guys wanted to talk about, or everything you did talk about yesterday, were topics of conversation I might bring up today. So now I had to reformulate my entire attack plan.
That's fine. Dude, you'll have probably a different perspective than either Jim or myself did. So,
but, yeah. I agree with a lot of stuff, but the one thing I definitely wanted to cover was the Super Bowl and pro sports in general.
Yeah.
So
what's your take on it?
What's your take on pro football?
In general, I mean, or the game or the whole like socio-political aspect of it. How deep down the hole do you want to go?
We can go very deep because we could talk about this the entire fucking episode because I've got opinions.
No, I love the game. I used to never watch it because I was like working on Sundays and, so when the games were on, I was working and whatever, but, now I'm able to watch more of the games. I'm definitely getting into it more. And, my team, the Cardinals are actually getting televised. Well, you grew up in AZ early, right?
Oh yeah.
So, you never saw the Cardinals on TV the 90s and early 2000s probably. Or...
Dude, I remember the fucking, Buddy Ryan days. Whereas he was a fucking badass defensive coordinator for Chicago in the 80s. Give him a fucking head coaching job and minimal talent because the Budwells wouldn't fucking spend any money. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Yeah, I know all about that shit. And they only got better, like, after, what is it? Papa Budwell, whatever his name was, the main guy, he died. His sons took over the organization, decided to spend a little bit more money. So that's when you got Emmitt Smith, even though it was in his heyday or his post NFL career, still, you brought star power to Arizona. And after that, it started changing bit by bit. And now you actually had a Cardinal team who was a Super Bowl contender, what, a year, 2 years ago?
Oh, yeah. They should have, We won't. Yeah, they could have been. It should have been, but that's the way the cards fall. So,
I mean, fuck. I've been to a couple of games at ASU Stadium when they were still playing there, and that was all up until recently. Until they decided to spend actual money. Well, actually, get the taxpayers or whatever. But they built Phoenix Stadium, or is it University of Phoenix?
Yeah, University
Stadium?
UOP Phoenix, whatever. Yep. Yeah, that's what I like that, Phoenix is, or the Arizona property is kind of getting a proper sports team to root behind.
Are you fucking kidding me? They've got the Coyotes and they got the Diamondbacks.
I like I like them both, but I don't know.
Each of which has won a world title in their respective leagues. So
true. And my gripe with the Coyotes is where the stadium is. It's just too, it's just too far for the time that they play, the times that they play, and how many games they play.
So are they not? Are they not playing at? Well, it's not America West Arena anymore. It's like United, whatever. But are they not playing in the same venue that the Suns are playing?
No. They play basically like across the street from University of Phoenix Stadium, like way out in the West Valley. So depending on where you live and what time of day you're going out there, it's like you got to pack a meal, dude, to get there because you're going to be in the car for a couple hours with, you know, traffic and.
Oh, I know. Now, even though the Fiesta Bowl is kind of a lesser bowl now because of the playoffs, mm-hmm. but, you know, my family's had like Fiesta Bowl tickets since the 70s, 80s. I don't know. We've been to plenty of Fiesta Bowls and always either. But they're always at ASU Stadium. But I think a year or two ago when I went with my aunt, we actually went to see, we saw U of A play Boise State at University of Phoenix. You know, mm-hmm. Boise State whooped their ass, but that was my first, you know, time in that stadium. And I was, you know, it was nice.
Oh, it's a beautiful facility, man. It's great. So thanks, tax. Thank you, taxpayers. but no, that's my gripe with it is, you know, the whole taxpayer funding, you know, public funding of stadiums, and obviously the profits are privatized or whatever. But
the losses are actually they're not privatized.
Well, the losses aren't, right, because, you know, when they want to pick up and move, then and that's I don't know. I don't remember all the details, but that's kind of going on with the D-back stadium where, you know, it's somewhat the contract they had.
Whoa, is it still Bank One Ballpark or Chase, is it different now?
Chase Field.
Oh.
So, you know, they're threatening to leave and yada, yada, yada. And
well, fucking let them. I mean, who gives a shit? Well, that's like now in Vegas, supposedly the Raiders, the fucking shitty ass Raiders want to move to Las Vegas. And there's a bunch of people who are for it and a lot of people who are against it.
You don't want the Raider Nation coming, bro?
Oh, fuck no. do you know what that brings?
Yeah.
Excess fucking crime. Straight up.
It's a very rabid fan base, let's just say that.
No, it's a very fucking destructive fan base as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, so from what I've learned or from what I've seen, there have been every fucking Raiders game, there's going to be a fight. And whether or not someone decides to pull a weapon because, well, they're from California and they don't know any better, you know. I'm against the Raiders. Any other fucking team? Great.
Yeah.
But the Raiders? Fuck no.
Bing. Sorry. No, I get that, man. What do you think about you guys getting a hockey team? The Golden Knights?
Yeah, Golden Knights, which is the name of it is fucking stupid. It should have been silver, whatever, you know, silver something, because Nevada is the silver state.
Yeah.
So, but the good thing about the hockey team is it was all private, you know, privately done.
Nice. Yeah. That's what it should be.
The guy, the guy who owns T-Mobile Stadium, which is where it would be held, because it was built maybe a year or two ago, but it was all done to facilitate a soccer team. But the guy who had it built, which is one of the CEOs, or if not the CEO of the MGM properties,
mm-hmm.
huge hockey fan. And so he had that private, you know, he built and then he made the bid for the NHL and they gave it to him. So it's the first private team.
Nice. That's way cool.
Oh yeah. And it's fucking Vegas. I mean, it's privatized in Vegas. That's beautiful.
Sin City, man. Where it all happens. I got to get back over there, man. I don't get to Vegas much. I'm usually there, and I'm there for like a day, and I'm like, okay, I got to go. My liver can't take it.
it's a 5-hour drive from you, from you guys. Maybe 6, depending on how far east of Mesa you are, but still.
Mm-hmm. Still worth it.
Oh, yeah.
So my big gripe, too, is how the whole – about football, I'm gonna gripe. The patriotic aspect of it, and not that, but the fact that the military was like paying them, you know, like the military was caught paying the NFL or whatever, like $5 million or whatever to promote their kind of, you know.
Oh yeah, but that
pre-game stores and or shows and everything. So
that shit didn't happen, and especially like the issue with Kaepernick in San Francisco, and for him not kneeling for the pledge and whatnot. That shit didn't start till like 08, 09. Because before then, the players never even took the field.
That's true. I did read that. Yeah, they stayed in the locker room.
Oh yeah. So you know, football, or specifically the NFL itself, has been completely politicized, and I blame fucking the commissioner because he's a piece of fucking shit.
Goodell.
Yeah, fuck Goodell, dude. I mean, he's a hardcore lefty, so of course he's gonna politicize everything. Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's spreading into that too. Like, I don't watch ESPN. I don't have cable, but it's on at work sometimes and I watch it. And they're totally kind of lefties too. You know, I don't know why it's so pervasive in that culture.
Because it's media. And for some reason, somehow, some way, the left ideology or whatever took over, and it's completely ruining the sport. I can say that politics or leftism, whatever you want to, however you want to put it, is ruining the NFL completely.
Yeah, keep your politics out of my sports ball, you know?
Okay, here's another thing. You want to talk about sport? God, watch the fucking libertarians' virtue signal because of the Super Bowl. Oh, my fucking God. Yeah. How fucking pathetic are people saying, well, I didn't watch the Super Bowl. I'm like, boo fucking who? Who cares? What it boils down to, and this is actually probably one of the main topics I wanted to cover, was just because the public and everything is politicized outside, or the game, not the game itself, but everything outside the game, you got to look at the players themselves. They're doing this shit, one, either love of the game or for a fucking paycheck. They're willing to sacrifice their bodies for a paycheck.
Oh, yeah.
But yet no one, no fucking libertarian on Facebook who's bitching about the Super Bowl and how they didn't watch it is actually taking that into account. They're sacrificing their bodies for a better life.
Yeah. And I mean, it's with the whole, now with more of the traumatic brain or, whatever, concussions and stuff coming about, that's kind of interesting too, how it affects them down the line.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, they're definitely, that's a choice they made to take that physical punishment. But yeah, they are trading, they're trading their bodies, for that money,
Oh yeah, and some people do it. That's a business decision. Okay, there are others who are like, I do it for love of the game because that's all they've known. I'm not gonna fault the player for doing that. I mean, everyone who bitches about sports and calling it sports ball and any other type of derogatory thing probably has never played any type of organized sport, or else they would know that, it takes, in order to complete an objective, it takes a fucking team, not an individual.
Yeah. I played baseball and stuff growing up, so I understand how, the team aspect of it. I mostly was into skateboarding and playing in a band, but I think I appreciate that aspect of it too, just because I was exposed to it. But yeah, you're probably right. A lot of these, you're right about the virtue signaling, dude. And me and Jim touched on it a little bit yesterday, but we didn't really go into it. But I don't get where it's that, how you spend your time is better than how other people do. I don't get that. If you don't like it, don't watch it.
In my opinion, just shut the fuck up, because you're seriously, about three quarters of my Facebook page were filled with people virtue signaling about not watching the Super Bowl. Boo fucking who? Your opinion, reality, that opinion don't mean shit. You're a small, tiny anecdote to a larger pool of people.
It was a great game, man. I mean, I watched it. I had my brother wound up showing up unexpectedly, which was awesome. And we had, my in-laws over. And it was fun, man. I had the family together, and it was a great game, just eating food and drinking beer, the typical.
The typical fucking Super Bowl party.
Right.
That's great. I mean, the fact is that the sport alone, and specifically the Super Bowl, has brought together more people of differing ideologies than anything. And yet, there are libertarians or wannabe anarchists, whatever the fuck you want to call them, they're willing to shit on all of this because they're going to virtue signal that they're above it, that they're a higher being. You fuck them.
Word. Run your own life. You don't let people run theirs. I mean, that's the that's basic common. So, I mean, that's like, you know what I mean? Like, don't tell people how to spend their time, man. You know, I mean, there's nothing there's nothing more kind of condescending or you know, just paternal or whatever you want to call it, dude, than telling people how they should, you know, be spending their free time. Yeah, could they have been doing, you know, what have you done for liberty or whatever? You know, what are you doing for liberty? Oh, watching a football game doesn't fucking count.
Yeah, you know, it does, because it know. Counts for that. It counts for that person because they're like, you know what? I made a conscious decision to cheer for a team for, you know, whatever the reason is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and just for lax. I'm not going and being a fucking dumbass and taking a fucking semi-automatic weapon into a fucking Dearborn police department.
I wanted to talk about that too, man. Jesus. Did you see that video?
Yes, I did.
Oh my God. Okay, so we should probably give some background, dude. They're, I guess they're some kind of activist. He's got a YouTube channel. It's, what's his name here?
James V. Baker.
James V. Baker, right. And I guess the run-up that I saw was they had been, kind of having, you know, they're activists, obviously, and I think they'd had a couple, you know, run-ins with the police about them filming the station or whatever. So they thought it would be a great idea to stroll into a police station dressed like members of ISIS, carrying an AK-47 and you know, pistols and handguns.
Well, I'm saying it, they're dressed up like ISIS. That's rather kind of, it's
funny. I mean, they're not.
No, it's a bad choice of words. What I'm saying, dress like any type of extremist organization.
He's wearing a balaclava, and you know, so he's got his face covered up. I think I think he has glasses here.
Yeah, no, he did.
And so yeah, you know, basically how a SWAT, you know, basically dressed like how a SWAT team guy would look on. You know, his face is totally covered. Yeah, he's got dark glasses, got the balaclava. Looks like he's wearing body armor or at least some kind of tactical vest, carrying an AK-47. And he's got his little GoPro on the shoulder there. Dude, these guys are lucky they didn't just get dropped. I mean, it's legal, I guess, in Michigan to open carry in a police station. So technically they weren't doing anything illegal or, you know, unconstitutional or whatever, but that's how you get shot, man.
No, this guy, James, right? Okay, so a few months ago, he said he was doing a tour, right? And he was coming to Vegas. He comes in, he specifically states that, you know, who else wants to raise some shit? You know, who wants to fuck with, you know, the cops with me?
I think I saw, okay, now I know where I heard his name before. Okay, go on, sorry.
I message him back. I'm like, dude, you don't want to fuck with Metro, the local police department, because they will ice your ass. They will kill you, no qualms.
Like the Metro Vegas downtown mostly.
No, Metro Vegas is just it's everywhere. It's Las Vegas.
It's just the whole
and because of the unique situation of Nevada, they've got all the fucking toys too. And so I basically told him, like, don't you bring your fucking stupid ass meathead activism to Vegas, because you will die.
You will, yeah, it'll be your last stand.
Yeah, you will fucking die. I'm not gonna have anything to do with it.
That's crazy, man. Is he I don't know. Is he like is he a sovereign or what kind of political affiliation? I haven't really got to there yet.
He's just fucking retarded.
Okay, so yeah,
real simple. He's just fucking retarded. He thinks that somehow, some way, him walking into a police station,
armed,
you know,
Well,
I've seen people armed to the teeth walk into a police station in like New Hampshire or whatever. Okay, that's cool that people have actually done that, and if there's precedence there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there was anything like that in Dearborn, Michigan, which is a small, I think, smallish town. Let me check.
I know it's like the most populous. I think it has the most populous Muslim. That's primarily what I hear the name from. It has the most populous Muslim population in for a city or a town in America. But I don't know what they're going to do with that, but
you know, that's just fucking great because someone, because of the heightened alert or heightened, you know, whatever, because of Trump and
with the
immigration ban and
right.
and just the entire fucking shit show that follows that they decide to pull this shit.
Yeah.
I mean,
it has, God. It's horrible. This is like the worst kind of activism. I mean, this is this, I don't know. It's,
And do you suicide. Now?
It's almost like, I don't know, do you want to die? You almost have to wonder sometimes with people like this, you know, suicide by cop. You know, is he trying to martyr himself, you know? Or, yeah, it's because there's no value is an active, it's not in an activist sense. It's just completely insane.
Yeah, there's no value to it whatsoever. I mean, the entire reason for the video was he got illegally pulled over. Okay, if that was even true, mm-hmm. and did he have the weapons in the vehicle? I mean, what? Nothing. There's a part of the story that's not even being told, and it's just him. And we're supposed to take his, you know, point of view because he's some anarchist or whatever, and does something fucking stupid. I mean, God damn it.
Are you? I'm kind of. Are you like with Jim? Kind of what he was saying about getting away from that term because of. All the crap that's going on, people calling themselves quote unquote anarchists, or I don't know. Yeah, this guy's not an anarchist, I guess, from what I can tell, but he's just an idiot.
Oh, absolutely not. I'll still throw the term, even though I will not use the term ANCAP because I'm not that. I'll throw the term anarchist because my specific ideology kind of follows within, it's a subset of an anarchist ideology.
Yeah. No, yeah. Excuse me. I don't know, man. But
I will not shy away from it.
Yeah, it's just such a, I don't want to say a loaded term lately, but, you know, it's getting a lot of bad, it's getting smeared with a lot of, you know, with the whole Antifa thing. And
well, and for good reason, too, because no one fucking decided to protect the label. Once Stefan Molyneux, Cantwell, everyone else, because they were part of the ANCAP movement,
mm-hmm.
once they went to the other side, or however you want to put it, that it opened up the entire ideology to criticism, fire, whatever.
It kind of so, like a power, I don't want to say a power vacuum, but it kind of
not
left,
power vacuum. It
left a void and or you know what I mean?
Not even a void. It doesn't matter because people will go and look at Stefan Molyneux's argument. They'll look at his previous videos. Mm-hmm. They'll see him throw around the word ANCAP or whatnot, and now he's not. And they'll right. think, well, why isn't he an ANCAP anymore? And the anarcho-capitalist mantra has become so loaded, detrimental. I mean, whatever you want to call it. It's, you know, fuck. I mean, did you happen to listen to the Hunter Mertz or Martz Joe Rogan conversation? Because the anarcho-capitalist gets brought up there, and uh-huh. it's not viewed in a good way.
No, I didn't. I know you mentioned it. And I didn't get around to watching it. But no, yeah, it's kind of being tarred, you know, or attached to a lot of dumb shit that has nothing to do with it.
Right. Well,
how do we control how do we control, or I don't know, how do we take back the we're gonna take that word back, you know,
don't.
Right. So what do you do?
You don't. You evolve. You straight up fucking evolve.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know Paul Gordon used to call himself an ANCAP for a very long time.
Yeah.
He stopped using it. I've stopped using it. Even though I'm nobody really, you know, unless, you know, they hear me occasionally on a podcast, but you drop the fucking moniker and you choose something else. Or nothing at all, and just like, you know what, fuck it, I'm just my own person. Because because the anarcho-capitalist label has become toxic. Because of Molyneux, because of Cantwell, because of what they're associated with, and how the because
the university is trying to attach it to the alt-right, right?
Well, how do they know about that? They know it because of fucking Cantwell. They know it. Actually, no, they know it specifically because of Molyneux. Maybe Alex Jones, though I doubt it. I mean, fuck, if you even listen to, I mean, Alex Jones fucking hates libertarians. He even said so on the podcast, on the Joe Rogan podcast. That was a point I want to bring up. I'm like, fuck.
I must have missed that in the whole interdimensional.
Well, no, it happened.
Shape-shifting, child molesting beings, right, from another dimension.
That wasn't until later. Early on, when he's talking about, because Alex Jones, he browbeats and he wants to get over facts quickly. Whereas Joe actually, he comes back, he's like, no, rein that shit in. Tell me what you meant.
Yeah, he must be more analytical about it.
Oh, Joe Rogan's fucking awesome about that. But no, specifically, there was a part where Alex Jones said, I'm not a conservative nor a libertarian. I like neither of them.
Is he talking about kind of the belief system or the actual party? Was he talking about the Libertarian Party or the
ideals? I'm pretty sure it was the belief system because you say conservative or libertarian. When you mention conservative is a belief system. It's not a party.
Right.
So he mentioned those ideology. Two. It was when if people want to go back, look at it. It's in between when they were talking about this, the Sandusky incident.
Sandusky, right.
Yes. Yeah. Sandusky and the child pornography issue. It's all mixed in probably within like 5 minutes of that when they started that, because Alex Jones or Jones, he was trying to go on and he was trying to just kind of get over the talking points and go into something deeper, I felt. But mm-hmm. Joe was like, no, we're doing a podcast. We're doing radio. Fucking bring it back. Tell me exactly what you're saying.
I loved watching Joe's face when he was just like, what are you doing, man? Where are you going? You know, reel it back. They're trying to take the whiskey from him. Like, no, man. Speaking of, okay, you brought up Jerry Sandusky and, you know, he brought up Podesta and Hastert. And I guess Hastert and Podesta were pretty close buddies. And Hastert was recently... he was convicted, correct? But
I'm not sure.
He had basically been convicted or whatever of child porn or molestation. I forget. I could look it up real quick. But what do you think? Okay, Ben Swan. Okay, without getting into the whole Pizzagate thing, but what do you think? You know, Ben Swan, the news guy, how he disappeared.
Yes.
What's your take on that? After he talked about Pizzagate, he kind of
dropped off the map. Well, no, it's not even that. He hit a fucking nerve, and maybe the powers that be or whatever. I mean, because there's a lot, you know, here's what's fucking weird. What Alex is saying and what he's talking about with Pizzagate and everything else, it feels fucking true. Because even if you listen to the arguments that were presented by Joe and by Alex in that little conversation at that moment dealing with Pizzagate, it just makes fucking sense.
And that was what I think what he was doing was actually what Alex was doing on that podcast. Kind of it started to line up a little bit, but then he went like so tangential about, you know, interdimensional beings and you know, potential point you may have like hit on or potentially is just completely destroyed by, you know, the interdimensional, you know, shape-shifting, you know, coming through the gates. And
well, it's time for that. If you listen to Alex, he's got a lot of fucking insanity, but then he has his brief moments of clear, concise, you know, arguments or sanity, whatever. And the fact that, and specifically dealing with the child or the pedophilia and everything else, and talking with Joe was his fucking anchor. Joe reeled his crazy ass back in. He's like, look, okay, you know, X, Y, and Z. And then Alex would go off on something else. Like, no, motherfucker, X, Y, and Z.
He's trying to lay it out, you know, logically.
Right. And
Jones
and
is just going off on a roll.
Oh, he's a tan. Yeah, he's going off on a tangent. He gave him, look, Joe Rogan probably has a larger listener base than Alex Jones. So Alex was trying to get all those new converts, maybe from the Joe fan base.
Yeah,
maybe it worked, maybe it didn't. But you know,
it made for a damn funny podcast, dude. Oh my god, I loved it.
I was listening on the way to work, and I have an issue. I've now realized I have an issue listening to Alex Jones. because it's his voice specifically that turns me off. I could listen to fucking Joe Rogan all day. Well, no, and it's the aggressiveness that he, or whatever that he tries to use, and he's like, he's trying to hoodwink or trying to surpass the interviewer. Like, you know, if you can't dazzle them or, you know, with brilliance, you got to baffle them with bullshit.
Yeah, basically beat them over the head with.
Yeah. You know. And I think Alex Jones has a PhD in that.
Oh, because yeah, he's known for doing that, like with Piers Morgan on the Second Amendment issue.
Well, you know, and that's all it is. I'm like, I don't even want to listen to fucking Alex Jones or this other guy. I just want to listen to Joe. I want Joe, which he did. He started kind of interpreting or translating fucking Alex speak into, you know, basic English.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. Damn, dude. Fuck. Crazy ass shit, but it's like
what a year already, dude. This year has been just chock full of nuts, man.
Oh yeah, and it's not even over, and there's a damn good February. Chance. There's a damn good chance shit will get 100 times worse come like September or in between here and September.
I kind of have a theory, man, and you know I'm gonna lay it out here. It's since we're talking about Alex Jones and conspiracies. I saw some article. It was like there's some asteroid. It's a hybrid. It's like a asteroid / comet that's going to pass closely to Earth. NASA says it's going to pass closely to Earth, sometime in the next week or so, like February 16th, I believe. Well, there was this self-proclaimed astronomist that says, no, it's actually going to hit Earth. It ties into the whole Planet X and what is that? Nibiru or whatever. Nibiru. So here's my theory is that this thing actually will hit the Earth, but NASA doesn't want to freak everybody out and cause, like, you know, a mass panic. So obviously Trump, being president, has been briefed on it, and that's why he's going like balls to the wall, get everything done that you can, and you know, with the executive orders, you know, because he knows it's going to go down. So he's just trying to cement his legacy before he gets shuffled into the bunker. That's the only reason I can think of, like, the way Trump's just, you know, firing on all cylinders and doing all this horrible shit. You know, some of the stuff he does is actually okay, and then some of it's just, it's just horrible.
Well, if you look at it, and then if you take both the good and the bad, you look at what's done kind of like the in between, then you can really look at it, because he's got to fucking fulfill fanboys or the deep state's requests, but he's also got to keep his base happy. So who the fuck knows? Who cares? You know, buy ammo.
Yes.
You know,
that was the main thing that I was glad that Trump got elected. It was like, okay, the cost of ammo is probably not going to skyrocket.
Right. Okay. So I know I told you in the previous podcast, and I do hate to repeat myself, but I will say it again. The main issue with a lot of libertarians out there is they cannot hold two ideas that contradict each other, two contradicting ideas. Me, for instance, I'm happy Trump won. I still know he's going to spy on everyone, so I will do my best to, you know, protect myself, but still, I'm happy. Right. Yeah, I'm still happy he won, because the alternative would have been far fucking worse.
I agree. You know, I mean, that's the whole lesser two evils argument, but it, you know, there is some validity to it. And I didn't vote. I didn't vote for Trump.
Oh, but the NAP says, or my interpretation of the NAP says, if you vote for the lesser two evils, you're still voting evil. I'm like, no, motherfucker, I'm defending myself.
Yeah, everything, it could be a calculated, you know, moral.
Well, no, I didn't vote, but because of everything else, I still will choose to defend myself, regardless of what, you know, I was rooting for to begin with. Fucking it.
Sorry.
You know, yeah, ANCAP's just fucking pissed me off, so.
Well, and that's, you know, that's what it should be. You know, that's kind of what drew me to libertarianism, was the self-government, you know, governing yourself, owning yourself, self-responsibility, you know.
But in reality, do you really own yourself? You don't.
Well,
no one in America really owns themselves as much as libertarians want to believe.
No, not truly. I mean, you know, as long as you're part of or living under, you know, the system that we currently have, no, you can't truly own yourself. But, you know, you take it back where you can, or you know what I mean, in ways that you can, like you said, trying to circumvent the surveillance state, promoting, you know, ideas of freedom and liberty, which, you know, that's ostensibly what this podcast is about. But, you know, we try to do it in a fun way, obviously. Yeah, and just, you know, doing things like, that's what I love about, you know, Bitcoin, Cell 411, you know, that Uber, just kind of that decentralization, or, you know what I mean? I think those are the things that are really revolutionary, you know what I mean? Or that's just going to slowly undermine the state as much as possible. That's all you can do, man. You know, you do what you can. Yeah, but do you truly own yourself? No, you can't.
Well,
you know, unless you want to go down maybe like that guy in the police station in Dearborn.
Well, here's
another, which I don't. I'm not advocating. So,
well, here's a contradictory idea. You can own yourself, and you just completely disobey, you know, any edict or law from government, but realize that you can't do it all the time, and one of these days it's going to catch up with you.
You can only you know, run that gamut for so long, unfortunately.
And which brings me back, coming back to the whole sports issue, football, and, you know, everyone, I really wonder, because because libertarians get chastised for being individualists for individualists' sake. And that may or may not be true depending on the person. But for a lot of those people, I don't exactly think they know how to work well in a group. Because if it comes down to a survival type scenario, are they going to be the individual and go off and do their own thing? Or are they actually going to band together with others to survive?
Yeah,
you know,
that's a very good question.
Let's use Walking Dead for an example, even though, you know,
yes, let's
high fantasy. Okay, regardless, there are a lot of individuals there, but they all pull together to, you know, make a group, and the group functions however it functions. Would a lot of libertarians be able to do that, or would they just end up, you know, staunchly believing they're in fucking individuals for whatever sake and end up just dying?
I think it'd be, you know, some of both. I think if you look at things like Jackfest
Jackfest is the great example, because,
you know,
I had
where people had just you know, it's totally decentralized. People just kind of.
Oh, that's great. Jackfest was a great example, because let me tell you this. I had a buddy of mine I told Jackfest about. He's like, okay, I'm going to get this one guy and five others. Do you think we could take that camp? And I said, all the Jackfest. He said, yes. And knowing his mindset and his training, he would take the entirety of Jackfest unopposed. People may have guns and whatnot there, but unless they know how to work together as a cohesive unit, they're not going to fucking survive a fire squad or someone with superior training and tactics.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, because before when I first started this podcast, I was still kind of into the whole minarchist, or, you know, and I was into preparedness a little bit, and that's absolutely true. And that's one of the things that I always laugh about, like you said, The Walking Dead, is that there's all these people who are, they're not a group, they're individuals, and they're running around with guns, and I'm like, if that actually happened, you'd probably have a lot more like friendly fire or deaths from, or injuries from like negligent discharges. Yeah. You know, as the months or years went on, obviously they learned how to, you know, work as a group better. But initially, yeah, when the Schumer, the shit hits the fan, if you don't have like a dedicated kind of core group before it happens, then you're way behind the curve against people who do, you know?
Right. So, and even in a survival type scenario, this is where hierarchy definitely plays a role. Now, how many libertarians do you know can actually survive under a hierarchy? A real hierarchy? because they're not top shit. Someone may be bigger. There's always going to be someone bigger and badder than them. Do they bow down and actually become subservient to the group? Or do they say, fuck you, and go off on their own and just potentially die?
Well, I don't know. I can't, you know, I'm not going to speak for, it's a hypothetical situation, and I can't speak for what only individuals act, so I can't speak for what any given individual would do.
But what
I would think you'd see some of both. You would see people, you know, either voluntarily organizing into a hierarchical structure, or, you know, you would have people, you know, to use The Walking Dead again as an analogy, like Carol, that just says, you know what, screw it, I'm going to go off on my own. But it could, you know, it's going to go either way, and it'll have varying results. Will vary, you know. Or
to be clear, Carol didn't go off on her own. She was ostracized from the group because of said action.
Yeah, true. But she kind of got shunned, but at the same time,
she got shunned, but she was a survivor, and she, you know, came back bigger and badder than ever. The only problem is, I have all these fucking lit. I don't even know what to call them. These fucking people who are saying, you know, fuck hierarchy, blah blah blah. I'm like, really? Because you would be fucking ground meat in a true fucking militaristic hierarchy. Because it's gonna come down. It will come down to that. It will come down to training and everything else. And a lot of people just can't hack that, but they don't want to face that fact.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that in terms of, you know, surviving a hypothetical, you know, economic or you know, worst case scenario. But what happens after, you know, that period, you know, where things kind of stabilize, then you're going to want, you know, you'd want, I think, to start, if you were going to truly, quote unquote, rebuild society or whatever, you'd want to start from a place of non-aggression or voluntary, you know, as much as possible, obviously. I mean, given the scarcity of resources and the reality of you know, whatever's, you know, the situation around you. But
well, so here's
that's kind of what I look at is, like, the more we can lay the groundwork now for the future in terms of, because it's that old question, like, if you could hit the button and or flip the switch and end government tomorrow, would you? And I would say no, because the vast majority of people aren't physically, spiritually, mentally, or philosophically ready for it. You know, because if you flip that switch and there was no more government tomorrow, what's going to happen? They're just going to try to you know, oh, we need a government. You know what I mean? We need to start this thing over again. And
it's not
me,
that
it's getting past that belief that that government is necessary or good or that we need it. And until you do that, then you shouldn't, you know, advocate totally getting rid of government, like, you know, overnight or whatever. I think so.
It won't even be that, because, okay, say government were to go away. Okay, central government go away, but people are going to form governing bodies.
Should we say the state? Because, you know, the state is a coercive. I love that. Like you said, Paul Gorner, he calls it a coercive enterprise. And I love that designation. Because you could have government if it was voluntary. You know, you can voluntarily choose to be part of the government, or as long as it was consensual and you were free to leave and there was no coercion. I know, libertarian paradise, but you know, so when I first started my show, I wanted it to be the zombies, the state, and you. But I kind of was going back and forth with my buddies, and we decided the government, because that's kind of more recognizable. Like, people are going to think, oh, the state, like, you know, the state of Arizona or Vegas or Nevada or whatever. So, you know, how do you get people past that
in my opinion,
belief
you really,
in the necessity of having a coercive enterprise as a state? That's where we got to get to before any of this actually matters.
You really don't, because regardless,
I think you just like to argue, man.
Oh,
you're just here to be contrarian.
Maybe, but no one's bringing this up. Oh, what's going to happen to state of the society? Oh, well, you know, yeah, a lot of freedom, a lot of death, whatever, and the ones who can actually adapt and overcome are the ones who survive.
Oh, social Darwinism.
Yeah, but no one talks about that. Well, what if the state ended tomorrow? Well, there's going to be a power vacuum, and a lot of people are going to die, period.
Right. Well, that's why I don't advocate, you know, like I said, if you could push the button, would you? I wouldn't. I don't think a lot of people would, just for that reason. I don't think we're at that level.
I would love to see a legit poll about that, because I've seen plenty of people on Facebook saying, yeah, I'd press the button, but no one's really thought about it.
Right. It's easy to say it, but, you know, when you actually take into account all the possible repercussions, I think, you know, it might be a little bit different answer when your fingers hovering over it.
And the whole idea of a true stateless society and all the anarcho-capitalist utopian philosophy bullshit, it may not even happen. There's a good chance maybe it would if you actually have a very controlled sample of people who all think the same way. Chances are, though, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, well.
And this is why I'm on the Lulberts, because I will burst or try to burst the bubble of every motherfucker that comes on there.
Oh, dude, no, I dig it, man. I dig that rule, you know. I dig what you do, baby. So, you need dissenting opinions. You shouldn't, you know, or opposing viewpoints. Opposing viewpoints sounds like a, you know, NPR show, except there wouldn't be actually any opposing viewpoints because it's the government propaganda, but, you know, yeah. Good times, man. So,
yeah.
I think, you know, and Jim, you know, we were talking about tribalism a little bit yesterday and how it is kind of, it is a poison in a way, but in some ways it could be a necessary thing. Like, because that's essentially what The Walking Dead is. That's their tribe. You know what I mean?
Well, in the end, I mean, we all sprouted humanity, civilization sprouted from tribes. So when libertarians say tribalism, they're talking about a very specific definition as opposed to a survival type.
Like a historical definition of it?
Oh, correct.
Right.
Yeah. So when they say tribes are automatic, I mean, they're going to point like the left versus right or red versus blue. I mean, yeah, you're going to have opposing sides, but tribes were also family at a point. And you did what you could to protect the tribe and make sure the tribe would survive. Because if the tribe survived, you survived.
Now, does that kind of, because I think I've seen some, does that tie kind of into your, if it's okay to talk about it, your belief system? Because I've seen you post some Norse pagan type things. Is that?
Oh, absolutely.
Does that kind of tie into how you get there?
I don't see tribe as a negative thing. I can differentiate between what like a political tribe, which is what a lot of other people are talking about, versus a real tribe, meaning, you know, blood, kin, you know, family by bond or by blood.
Right.
That's, you know, that's a tribe or a clan. You know, a clan in the original sense, not in whatever modern sense they're talking about.
No, yeah, and I think that's an important distinction. I like that because in the preparedness world, they talk a little bit about, you know, your group or your tribe, and that's completely something that's voluntarily. I don't think it's necessarily anti or, you know, mutually exclusive. I think, you know, you can have a tribe that's voluntarily entered into, or you should be able to believe it if you choose. But you know what you're getting into, and it's. You know, for more or less a contract, I guess you would say. No, libertarians, ANCAPs are big on contracts, which I get.
When in essence, it'd be either a verbal contract or a type of social contract that you a legitimate social contract that you are one aware of.
I didn't sign shit. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, right, but in saying case with you know the people I'm with, I voluntarily entered this, and I can leave anytime I want. Everyone knows this. And we all agree upon it. That's our social contract.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the social contract constitution bullshit, but this is it's an agreement.
It wasn't you were born into this, right? By being born on this piece of land, you agreed to the contract. You actually voluntarily entered into, I get you.
Correct. It's more like in essence a common law, like a common law contract.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. So, yeah, I think that's an important distinction to draw. I dig it.
So I was thinking back. I was listening back to the podcast earlier. Maybe someone you would want to get on it, because I know he seems to have relocated to Arizona now, is Davy Barker. because I know you and Jim were talking about the whole idea around the naming of your podcast.
Yeah.
Well, if anyone has more,
oh God, yeah,
more thoughts on zombies or anything else, Walking Dead, it's Dobby Barker.
Absolutely. I downloaded his first book, Survivor Max. It's awesome, man. I want to get my kids to read it because it's for young adults, but it's still a fun, cool read for me. You know, as an adult, but I love everything kind of most things zombie related. I follow him on Facebook. I haven't friended him because I don't know. I'm not the guy that spams people with friend requests on the Fed book. I usually, I don't have a problem with people do it with me because that's awesome, but I usually try to have a little bit of interaction or know him some other way before I'm like, hey, let's be friends. I don't know. Maybe that's just a generational thing because I'm old, but I saw he's literally pretty close, where he's at right now. So
yeah, he's in Apache Junction, I believe.
I would love to just hook up with him or help him out with whatever he needs. And, I didn't even think about getting him on the show, but if he was open to that, of course, man.
Yeah, I think it all depends on whether or not he's busy, but it'd be cool if you definitely got him on the show. So
yeah, because he was one of the first ones when I started listening to the Freedom Fiends. I think he was still on it, but he was kind of maybe getting doing other things, and other hosts were coming on. But yeah, dude, I dig his perspective and what he does. So yeah.
Oh, definitely, man. Doffy's good people. Trust me on that.
And I linked to that episode or that speech you said last time, man. That was a great speech.
Oh yeah, you watch that?
Yeah, I dug it, man.
Nice.
So yeah, maybe we could all, get you or get Jim and him, and it'd be sweet.
No, one of these days. One of these days I'm gonna make it back down to Arizona and visit family, and I'll come up and visit you.
You should, man. We'll have many beers will be drunk. We could do it in the zombie ZZY studio here, man.
Hey, that works.
AKA, the way you and Jim did it the other time. I love that episode you guys did. Dude, that was fucking hilarious.
Go ahead.
No, I think we should, let's get into some pod beef here, man. Cause, I haven't talked about Star Wars in a while, and I know you're not a fan of episode 7. So let's do it. You want to throw down? You want to throw down the gauntlet?
It's down. Let's do it.
Episode 7. What? Okay, you're not a fan of The Force Awakens episode 7, correct?
No.
Why?
If you like episode 7, you have no fucking taste because you like regurgitated bullshit from episode 4 with a little cast diversity.
It's not. You're not entirely incorrect, at least in terms of the movie. I don't know if you could. That's a far trail to run with the whole no taste, but there's a lot of callbacks, dude. You're right. There's
a lot of callbacks. Okay, so let's just call it episode four with the black guy.
Episode 4.5
with a black guy. I mean,
well, and a female heroine.
Okay, there's a female heroine in 4.
Female Luke, a female Luke.
No, female Leia.
No. Rey is literally a female Luke Skywalker. I mean,
no, she's not.
Yes, she is.
She's on a
desert planet.
No. She has a command of the Force far superior to Luke, which is surprising if she's Luke's daughter.
You don't know that it's far superior to Luke,
really? Because.
Well,
I don't know.
In the beginning, but not where he's at. You don't know what he's capable of currently
You have to look at
the crazy time, libertarian time, Jedi on a mountain somewhere.
Fuck that. Time progression versus what? Rhea learned what she did with the whole Jedi mind trick versus where Luke was. And I'm sorry, Luke didn't even know that after the first fucking movie.
True. How do you explain? Yeah, how do you explain that her grasp of the her such a quick grasp of the Force, and all of...
There is an alternate theory saying that Rhea may be Anakin Skywalker reincarnated,
the one that brings balance to the Force. I've heard that theory. I hate, dude, I'm just gonna get this out of the way. I hate the prequels, but most of what I hate about them is what George Lucas did to explain the Force, you know, instead of leaving it this kind of mystical thing, you know, that binds the universe together. And, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, it's a midichlorians. You have more of them than other people. So he explains it like in some 23andMe kind of shitty genetic, you know, way. I'm like, oh, really, dude? You just got to come out and be like, you know,
he was conceived by midichlorians,
you know.
Well, right.
Fuck you, George, dude.
The Immaculate Conception.
Right.
Shit.
Yeah, I know the analogy there.
Yeah. Well, no, but think about it. Think about DNA. Think about it going back to a mystical aspect of it. What if the Force or the midichlorian, or whatever the fuck you want to call them, they actually decided who was a Jedi and who wasn't? There's still a mystical aspect to it, but it's more grounded in a genetic sense.
Hmm. Okay, so you're saying the midichlorians themselves.
The midichlorians
are somewhat sentient, or they have some say in who they anoint or choose.
Oh, exactly, because there'd be a hell of a lot more Jedi than there were. But then again, I mean, even if you look at the expanded universe or the legacy, I mean, the old Republic, they were fucking, I mean, there's a whole bunch of different types of Jedi that were out there.
Right.
And then they all got wiped out somehow, some way, you know?
Yeah. So, no, I, you know, going back to episode 7, I liked it. I enjoyed it. I didn't think it was great. I thought it was good. I liked it. It's kind of, I look at it as kind of hitting the reset button, you know? It's
but you
not, it's kind of undoing the damage of the prequels and saying, okay.
No, it's not.
But
it's
yeah,
not
it's,
doing,
it's totally.
It's not.
It's totally, or, you know, it's totally a derivative or callback. And that was my biggest gripe with it.
You know? Honestly, they should have gone. I mean, for fuck's sake, Harrison Ford got sick and tired of it. So they had him killed.
He's like, get me out of this.
Yeah, he's like, get me out.
The set tried to kill him. I think he tried to kill himself on the set. Didn't he? He like got hurt, like a door fell on him. I think he was just get me out of here. What can I do? And he fucking like broke his own leg or something.
Well, right. And they should have killed Leia off because she was the least important. She was least important.
Too soon?
I mean, come on.
No, I'm just kidding.
Fuck no. Leia was the, I mean, come on.
It's never too soon in the Star Wars universe. Yeah.
I don't even know anymore. I mean, this is like, okay, you watch Rogue One. I loved it. It was a great war movie.
It was.
But that was it. I mean, trying to tie it into any other, into the actual universe was just terrible. They should have been a standalone movie, period.
Are you talking about like the Rebel, the cartoons or whatever? That they were
I
haven't watched any of those, but I know a lot of those characters were from that.
Talking about Rogue One. Rogue One itself, as in, you know,
right.
Jason. And fucking Donnie Yee as a fucking blind Jedi who's the only one who believes in the Force in that fucking movie.
Yeah, that's one thing I never understood is how, you know, how do people forget that much history, or, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I've heard of the Force, or is it real?
No, okay.
But,
you know. So what it is, if they're kind of trying to incorporate the legacy or the expanded universe, if the Jedi have been actually devastated and gone for a very fucking, well,
thousands of years. Yeah.
No, it's not even that, because it's maybe 30 years between episode 3.
Oh,
and
I was thinking
one.
Like the Sith or whatever the,
well, right.
Jedi and Wars was thousands of years ago, but yeah, you're talking right. about the recent ones, Order 66 or whatever. Right.
Yeah. And I was trying to make that connection, but I'm like, wait a minute, that should just happen like 30 years ago.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I mean, you know, I can,
But apparently, everyone in the Star Wars universe has really shitty memory.
Too many Death Sticks. I don't know, man.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's one thing that it seems like they just kind of not jumped the shark on that, but it's kind of just taken for granted. Oh, yeah, it's been 30 years, so nobody remembers anything. You know, nobody remembers Luke Skywalker defeating, you know, the Emperor and...
It's not, no, it's not that, because this is before, this is like literally previous to Luke coming into play.
Oh, you're talking about Rogue One. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, Rogue One, and then Anakin, and then the Republic. But it just seems like it was shitty writing, shitty execution, and Disney didn't care because it was all for the fanboys, because the fanboys wouldn't give a shit because it had R2-D2 and other Star, and wait, lightsabers,
cameo.
Darth Vader. Oh, God.
You got to admit, though, that Vader scene was fucking killer. Finally, you got to see kind of, you know, what he could do or...
No, it wasn't the same. Vader was Vader was emaciated in that fucking shot, dude.
He was
the original emaciated. He was smaller. If you actually look at the Vader in that shot versus the Vader in the original trilogy.
Oh, you're talking about smaller. Yeah.
The actor himself. I mean,
yeah, because David Prowse was the original Darth Vader was, you know, a big dude, bodybuilder. So. I don't know. I didn't do the side by side to measure height, but I just liked the fact that he was just slashing dudes, choking them left and right.
Well, and then that was the reason for the scene because they, you know, in doing that, you get a bunch of people forgetting the inconsistencies.
Yeah.
Within the entire movie.
You know, I didn't mind the CGI on Tarkin, Grand Moff Tarkin or Governor Tarkin at that point, I guess. Because, you know, it was kind of shadowy and dark, but, dude, the CGI on Leia just totally lost. I was like, oh, God.
Really? Because I'm opposite. I didn't notice the CGI on Leia, but I noticed Tarkin, like, first thing.
Well, he was on there more, so, yeah. I did notice it after a little while, I guess, but it didn't bother. No, it wasn't as glaring to me. Like, with Leia, it's in this bright ship. She's wearing all white. And I don't know, it just kind of took me out of it at the end. I didn't like ending on that. I think they could have done something better, just show her from behind, or, you know, even like they could have done it like from the side and obscured it a little bit and you would have known who it was, but just to, right. You know, just to end it on that glaring CGI shot, I was like, it just kind of took me out of it, but
it's Disney. What do you expect?
I know. It's good and bad, man. They're just,
I mean, I'm surprised because I was actually looking, I'm like, wait a minute, that looks so... The first shot of Tarkin, I'm like, I'm looking at him, I'm like, wait a minute, that's fucking CGI. Holy shit, that looks bad.
Is it because you and knew he was dead, the actual actor, though?
No, I didn't. I just saw it, and I saw CG right there. I'm like, you know. But then for some reason, I didn't... Maybe because I was so tired from watching all the bullshit that I completely bypassed the fact that Leia was CG.
Yeah, I got you, brother. So I got one more thing I want to talk about, man. I know it's current year, it's 2017, and Harambe, rest in peace. But have you seen this? There's an article, $100,000 Harambe Cheeto is on eBay, dude. There's a flaming hot Cheeto that looks like Harambe. Like
that is the internet's second coming of Christ right there,
or the sign of the apocalypse, right?
No, because how many times have like sandwiches been said the voice of Christ or the face of Christ?
I'm look
like,
at this no, toast.
We,
yeah,
we have Harambe, and you know what? Long live Harambe forever. Yes. He mount reign.
Forever he shall reign over us. Oh my God! Yeah, somebody. eBay bidding wars for absurdly banal products have a long internet history, blah 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 blah. So yeah, a woman sold a toast resembling the Virgin Mary on eBay for $28,000. Yeah. So the current bidding at 11:45 or whatever is $97,600 for the Cheeto Harambe.
That just shows that Harambe is a more enlightened, important figure than the Virgin Mary.
In the Cheeto world, anyway.
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, I would not be surprised to see a religion sprout up around Harambe. I shit you not.
You know, I think this is, you know, he's kind of fallen by the wayside, man. I think this is his way of, you know, the second coming in a way.
Second so, coming.
Well, he's here to remind us that, you know, he's
all,
still around.
All great martyrs are forgotten in time, but then they're resurrected by the followers. That's exactly how, you know, new pagan ideology, fucking Christianity. I mean, you want
Che Guevara?
Yeah, I mean, people worship Che shirts. I don't get it. I mean, fuck, even Tucson, like downtown, has a bar called Shay's Lounge.
I've heard of that, yeah.
And it's all in Shay paraphernalia.
I'm not gonna lie, man. I had some Shay stuff, but I was like, you know, 22 or whatever, and I was like, fuck you, dad, you know, kind of thing. So, but you know, that's fine. If you're 20 years old, that's one thing. If you're a grown ass fat anarchist, you know, or pretend anarchist running around with one at, you know, 40, then yeah, you need to get your shit together. So,
get on
with Harambe, man.
No, definitely. We need the flags of Harambe flying high. We need standards, banners.
Star Wars appearances.
That'd be awesome.
Harambe Force Ghost. There we go.
Dude, that would be fucking epic. I would love to see a fan film do that.
Okay, so
I can see it now. So you have like the Force Ghosts of Vader, of Anakin, you know, Obi-Wan and Yoda. And then all of them get pushed out of the way by Force Ghost of Harambe and just saying
swings in. Oh, dude.
It needs to be a thing. Internet, do it. On it. Make it a thing.
It could be the trailer for the Jason Crystal Lake Bachelor episode, which still needs to happen.
I heard about that, but I mean, do you watch Red Letter Media at all?
I need to. Yeah, I've seen the Jim talking about him. So,
oh god, do it, because they did a reaction on the new Star Wars. It's epic because it's just so it did like it's a title crawl. It's not a title crawl. It's just a still photo, and it's only difference is instead of being in yellow, some of the text is in red.
I heard it would change your mind. Yeah, I think you see it a different way.
No, it's just text that's a different color.
Oh, okay, that's it.
In the same font as The Force Awakens. There's nothing different about it.
All right, I'm looking that up tonight, man. All right, buddy. I think it's about time, man. What, you got anything else you want to plug or shout out? Or yeah, tell people what you're doing right now, man.
Right now, what I'm doing... So I'm planning the second event for the Hans Hermann Hoppusser Bridal Removal Service.
I love that name, dude. That's
yeah.
Amazing.
So we're keeping the name. I'm actually expanding out to a second event. Jim's going to co-host the one on Tuesdays at the Aces and Ales on Cheyenne and Tenaya in Las Vegas. And then I've got the one, which it's the same name, but it's going to be at the Aces and Ales on Nellis.
Nice.
Off Twain. So
yeah, if you're in Las Vegas, make it out. Definitely. Sounds like a cool meetup.
Oh, it's fun. It'll be brilliant. And also check out the Lulberts, because if I'm not bitching on here, I'll be bitching on there.
And it's always
if you dig
time.
It, right? If you like it, check me out on Facebook.
Sweet, man. Yeah. Baron Von Stormhaven on the Fed Beast Facebook. Dude, thanks for coming on, brother. It was fun.
Hey, man. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
That was a good time, man. So this is the ZGY Podcast. Later.
Peace.
Hi, have you heard about Bipcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, does not require specialized mining rigs, and has adaptive limits. Plus, Bipcoin is the only cryptocurrency covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. If you're still kicking yourself in the head for not getting in on the ground floor of Bitcoin, start mining, using, and trading Bipcoin today.
Not a guarantee.
Mining Bipcoin costs you nothing but the electricity to run your computer. And we already take Bipcoin for stickers and buttons. Go to Bipcoin.org. That's Bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo India Papa Coin.org.